Hello and welcome to this episode of the ESG Fitness Podcast. This week I had a question on Instagram that read, binge eating, is it possible to ever stop? I feel so lost. And a quick caveat to this episode, I'm not talking about binge eating disorder here, which is characterized by this complete loss of control. And I will always refer you to a specialist for this. So the reason I wanted to talk about this is because so many people resonate with feeling like they're binge eating or they're overeating. And what I'm really talking about here is overeating. But if you're struggling with either, do reach out. If we can't help you, then we'll refer you to someone who can. So with that out of the way, what I mean here is eating more than you had planned to, which you absolutely can stop or at least reduce. And this is something I've been talking about quite a lot recently. In fact, already right at the start, within the first minute, gonna go on a little tangent, because I shared this from a check-in in the Commit to Six group, and I thought actually maybe it's quite useful to share it here too. And then I saw like a little meme about this, and it said, I love when I realize I'm handling a situation better than my old self would have. And when I put here, like, this is what triggered the two thoughts to come together. When I put here that it's eating more than you had planned to, which is something that you absolutely can stop, or at least you can reduce it, everyone overeats at some point. And I'm going to come on to, like, what a normal and somewhat inevitable, like, human drive this is. But this came up in a check-in as well, because I had a client who was a bit annoyed at herself or felt a bit disappointed in herself that she'd had quite a low week due to PMS. And I'd said to her, compare your bad days now to what your bad days were before, not to your best days. You respond so much better now to your PMS symptoms. Previously, you used to consume around 3,000 calories and maybe do about 3,000 steps. And now you're still hitting, this is just her stats from this week, 9,000 steps. And you didn't track this week, but it's unlikely that you overate, given what you said you had, probably about 1,800 to 1,900 calories, which for her, still in a bit of a deficit, had a cheeky bag of Maltesers, which, yes, if you are going to eat chocolate, Maltesers are elite, especially with a cup of tea, and they just kind of like melt in your mouth, yes. Also, normally, unless you're getting a massive bag, you know, I think it's like 200 calories for like a normal sized bag of Maltesers. Anyway, this is an important lesson, because most of your results won't come from your good days. In all likelihood, they are already pretty good, right? Anyone listening to this is like, oh yeah, the days that I get to the gym and I eat well, like they're not really the problem. Sometimes they cause the problem because they're too quote-unquote good and you end up over-restricting and then over-indulging. But it's generally not the good days that are getting you results. It's the bad days. It's improving on your bad days. Most of my clients find that their results, whether they notice this or not, but it's good to point out, most of their results come from improving their bad days. So for example, this client gets way more results from the fact that now in PMS week, she's doing still 9,000 steps and is probably in a little bit of a deficit, if not around maintenance, right? She's definitely not going backwards. Whereas previously, she was barely doing any steps, would stay in bed and then overeat by a lot, you know, like normally about double calories. So this is exactly why we use range targets, because she's stayed within her range, but she's closer to our non-negotiable, kind of like easier side on the tough weeks than she is to her quote unquote optimal side, which you'd strive for on your best weeks. Now, importantly, she is still moving forward and still making progress, just at a slower pace for a couple of days. And if you think of this like if you're walking up a mountain, and previously you'd walk, you know, a couple of days up the mountain, or maybe it's a couple of hundred meters up the mountain, and then you turn around and start walking back down again, and then you'd have to start walking up again. This is like just pausing and then continuing to walk. It's very, very different. And that's what range targets do to you. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, re-range targets, let me just look up for you what episode it was that I go into this. And it's very short, sharp, like, this is exactly what you need to know, which is, you know, kind of my vibe. Range targets. It was episode 527. It's only 10 minutes long. I hope that you all listen to me on 1.2 speed because I think that's when I sound my best. So it won't even be 10 minutes, right? It'd be like 8 or 7 or something. Okay, back to my actual point, which was I was going to talk about binge eating, overeating here. And I got distracted by the fact that you absolutely, the question was, is it ever possible to stop? And I'm going to say yes and no, because yes, it's definitely possible to reduce this, but I think it's completely normal that people overeat at certain times. I certainly do. But the difference is it being mindful, you not beating yourself up, you choosing to do it, it not feeling like it's kind of like forced upon you or like you didn't want it to happen and then it happened. So, one thing I want to do is take a bit of the stigma away. So, overeating is a very normal human drive, hence why so many people struggle with it. Like, when I put that up, it's like, yes, this is me, this is me, this is me. It's like, yeah, of course it is. Like, we all struggle with that. Everyone overeats on occasion. And there is no need to pathologize it. I think this can become a bit of an issue now that there is binge eating disorder, right? But I think sometimes people pathologize this overeating, like, oh, there must be a physiological reason for it, or there probably is a physiological reason for it, but more to the point, like, there must be something wrong with you if it's happening. And I don't think that is helpful to change. Because it's like, oh, nothing I can do about it. There must be something wrong with me. Oh, well. The point I want to make here is that you could actually argue that it's more surprising when people don't overeat. And the reason I say this is because eating when food is available is one of the most natural human instincts and was pretty essential to survival throughout evolution when food was usually a scarce resource, right? So the humans, or whatever we were back then, like, you know what, even in relatively recent times, so like the humans who could get more food and eat more when it was available were the ones that were more likely to survive and then pass on their genetics, right? Pretty essential. That's why it's such an ingrained human drive. So, does it serve us in our current environment where food is always available with minimal effort? No. And that's where the problem arises. But what I want you to understand here is that it's not like a human, like a failure by you. It's not like a trait that you have that it needs to be pathologized. It's like this is a normal human drive. It's just it's not serving us anymore. So we need to change that. And it will certainly help if you appreciate that it is this normal human drive and you take away the shame from it and you stop telling yourself that there's inherently something wrong with you. Now, changing this behavior is not easy, and some people have a higher drive than others, which makes it even harder. But there are five key factors. One, figure out why you're overeating. And to do this, you could ask yourself questions like, how do you feel when you overeat? How do you feel right before? Is it when you're rushed or emotional or you're overly hungry because you missed lunch at work or you're tired or you're sad? And sometimes it'll be numerous different things, right? But often you notice this kind of pattern. So, for example, for me, the most likely time for me to overeat is when I'm overhungry, like I've missed a meal, and I'm in a rush. I think the rush is the biggest thing. Like the amount of times, and I'm better at catching myself doing this now, but like I'll rush home, know that I don't know, I've got like a Zoom call in 10 minutes. So I just like cram it. And then I'm like, oh my God, I ate so much in 10 minutes, rushed, didn't enjoy it. Because I felt like I had to do it before this call, or I didn't want to be hungry on the call, or I wouldn't be able to eat until after the call. Basically, it's time management, isn't it? And slowing down a little bit and being like, okay, will you die if you have to wait 40 minutes to actually have something nice and sit down? Like, no, you're going to be fine. The second thing is figure out when you are most likely to overeat. So I kind of just touched on that there. Like, is there a certain time of day? Is there a certain time of the month? Again, definitely noticed that for myself. A couple of days before my period, I definitely have higher hunger, but not just higher hunger, but lower mood, which is kind of, linked into am I more likely to feel positive and want to fuel myself with healthy, nutritious food at every meal? Like, no, I'm probably looking for more comfort. right? So knowing that before you go into it and planning ahead for it makes a hell of a lot of difference. And sometimes it's the time of the week, you know, like I have clients who are like, yeah, by Friday, I just want to have a glass of wine and eat a pizza, which, hey, might be fine, but it's mindfully doing that, not overeating. Or they always have a really stressy day on a Wednesday, so actually they tend to overeat in the evening. And again, once you point these things out, it's much easier to come up with solutions for them. The third thing is to curate your environment. This will help you reduce the occurrence of overeating. So, sounds quite obvious, but don't surround yourself with temptation. The amount of people that come to me and just like, I just have no willpower. And I'm like, I bet if we looked at my environment compared to your environment, you're using a hell of a lot more willpower than I am, right? And you might look at me and be like, oh yeah, she's in shape, she must have great willpower. I also don't surround myself with temptation, right? I make the choices I want to make, the easy choices. I don't have loads and loads of chocolate in the house. I don't, you know, I plan my day around like when I'm going to exercise, when I'm going to work, how this fits in. Like, you can make these things a lot easier. And I would say one of the most underrated ways to change your behavior is to change your environment. And if you're like, oh, but I can't do that. Like, it doesn't have to be like you need to move to a completely different city where within the apartment block there's a gym and a salad bar and blah, 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 blah. It's like, no. It can be quite subtle things. Like, can you put away the chocolate and have a fruit bowl out? Can you at your desk have good healthy snacks there? So when you are picking at something, it's something that you actually want to eat more of versus there always being chocolate there. Can you bring your lunch to work so you're not tempted always to go to the canteen? Can you take your gym stuff in your car at work so that you're more likely to just go straight to the gym after work instead of coming home and then having the option to not go out and not go and exercise? It's little things like that. It doesn't have to be huge things, but they can make such a big difference. Number four is breaking the habit of overeating. So often overeating has become habitual. Like, as an example, you tend to overeat every night in front of the TV. And again, this kind of comes to changing your environment. Okay, then what could you do instead of that? Or sometimes it's as simple, and I've done this with a client recently and it's kind of blown my mind, but she's like, it's really working. And it's really strange. I'm like, I mean, let's roll with it. But she used to always sit in a certain place and she would always overeat. And all we did was try sitting in a different chair, still watching TV, but sitting in a different chair where actually it's like harder to reach for the like snacks that her husband always has out, right? And literally that's it. It's like the smallest barrier of, oh, I would actually have to get up, which requires consciously using my mind to then get up, go over there and like take the whatever snack and then sit back down. And it's even the slightest change like that that can break that habit. And when it comes to breaking habits, you probably will find this hard for the first week. And then it gets a hell of a lot easier. So really dig in for that first week. So I know it can feel after a couple of days like, oh, I'll never be able to do this forever. I'll never be able to use this much like willpower and constraint forever to not do this behavior. But honestly, even after like 3 or 4 days, you're like, oh, okay, this is getting a little bit easier. Like, I don't have the same drive to do that behavior anymore. And then number five is get out of the cycle of over-restriction. So what often happens is following overeating, you tend to over-restrict, right? Whether that's a guilt thing, whether it's just trying to make up for it. Maybe sometimes it starts quite logically, like, oh, I overate by 500 calories last night. I'm gonna eat a smaller breakfast today, which, you know, makes sense on the surface, but then it can start getting extreme of like, oh, I overate by 1,000 calories yesterday, so I'll just try and stick to only 800 today. And then you do manage it for a day, and then the next day you're starving and you end up overeating again, and then you get in this horrible cycle of always kind of like beating yourself up. And then what's interesting is that what starts to cause the over-restriction, sorry, what starts to cause the overeating is the over-restriction. And then every time you overeat, you're like, oh, I need to restrict. And then you're stuck in this cycle, right? And it's hard to break because the way that you need to break it is to stop over-restricting, right? It's probably what's going to happen is you'll overeat, And then the next day you just need to continue. And that can be a bit scary because like, oh, but I want to make up for the fact that I overate yesterday. No, ignore it, move on. And then you find that that urge to overeat again isn't half as high. If you need some help with any of this, because this stuff is quite hard to action on your own, head over to esgfitness.co.uk, fill in the application form. As I said before, if we're not the right people to help you, we will find you someone who is. But this is something that especially Maureen is very, very, very good at. So I would love to introduce you to her if this is something that you're struggling with. And I think that's all that I had for today. Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. Have lovely days and I will talk to you soon.